That's gotta be my Northern Union line. I gotta get going again. Grab my bindle, running through the brush. Switch me, yeah, now what the hell's a rush? With a ticket to nowhere. I live on the rail. I'm a boxcar man on the iron trail. I live on the rail. Gotta get going when that whistle wails. Came from Memphis, looking for some work. Club by the apples, decking Cosmic. I'm traveling hard these days. I live on the rail. I'm a boxcar man on the iron trail. I live on the rails. Gotta get going when that whistle wails.
That is the title track from a CD called Boxcar Man by a fellow who, at the time anyway, was billing himself as the Wandering Endorphin. He's also known as Jim Green, a little bit more simply and straightforwardly, and he will be playing in our area tonight and tomorrow. Well, specifically at the same place, Black Rock Pizza Company in Lincoln Square. You heard this the music live. Not live, but you will hear him live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and Jim Green is in the studio with us, but of course that one off of one of his earlier CDs. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for the invite.
So you're a Chicago native and resident?
No, I live about 40 miles west of Chicago at the moment.
Which town would that be? There are many.
Yes. Well, even people that live around that town haven't heard of it. It's called Wayne, And
I have heard of it.
You have heard of it, yeah. Really? Yes, it's a very quiet town. There's lots of forest preserve. People own horses there, and it's got one main street that's like 20 miles an hour down the street. They have one store, so there's no reason to go there except maybe to cut through. It's called kind of the eye of the storm in that area, I call it. It's very quiet there, and everything around it's rushing and busy and lots of things to see and do and stores and traffic. But so that's why I kind of chose that place, because I like the quiet, but I don't like to be too far away from anything either.
Well, that was going to be a next question, how it is you ended up there, and I guess that takes care of that. But you, I have to ask you right away about this wandering endorphin thing.
Oh, boy, I just can't get away from that, can I?
You can't get
away
with
it. Even when I changed the name.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, it's up on your website as well, and and you do explain a little bit there, but, you know, it's worth letting you do it rather than my reading.
Sure. Well, it really started off as when I started playing open mics with just an acoustic guitar. I always thought I was going to get another band together. And when I started getting into this percussive style of playing, you know, people took notice, and I thought, well, maybe I don't need a band. And someone someday said that watching you play is like a real endorphin rush. And I don't even know what an endorphin was at the time. So I still don't.
Well,
I just said thank you very much. I hope, and I, in my mind, said I hope that's a compliment. And I went home and looked it up, and turns out it's a peptide hormone that's found in the brain that actually dulls sensation of pain, makes you feel happy. You can trigger them by running. That's kind of like the runner's high people talk about. It's when really the body thinks it's under attack. Something is happening. You're running, and you must be being chased by something. And so in order to, it's kind of a survival mechanism to kick in and make you feel less pain so you can keep going. Same thing if you even took started eating spicy food. People can get a little bit of a rush from that.
Because your body thinks
it's
under
attack.
For that reason.
Yeah. So I translated to just a stage name for myself. And it started off just as The Endorphin, but turns out there's a band already called Endorphin that had some popularity at the time in the 90s. And so I just tacked on Wandering, thinking I'll be doing a lot of touring.
And? The touring didn't come?
And it never really did it to the extent I wanted. You tour and you get so far away from home that, you know, you start looking at the price of the money you spend on gas, you know. So I wasn't really making that much. So I just I stuck around at home. I learned to just stay within 50 or 100 miles of home. And now I'm actually, after 12 years later, I'm starting to get spread myself out a little bit more.
So you're finally starting to wander, but now you're just Jim Green.
But now I'm just Jim Green because I actually went as far as overseas and did some shows. And when English is a second language, to explain your name is the Wandering Endorphin, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah,
Jim Green is a whole lot easier. What is the opera composer Joe Green? Giuseppe Verdi.
Okay. Yeah. See, it's very simple. You would remember it very.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Giuseppe, I've heard, is more or less can be Joe. But that is neither here nor there. That first tune we heard off the CD, Boxcar Man, sort of jumps right into at least one of the things that makes your guitar playing pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if unique is the right word, but certainly unusual. And since you said you started developing this particular style of playing, percussive style of playing, what were you doing before you developed that?
well, I was playing cowboy chords like everyone else, and writing songs and, you know, singing to those. But I did have a band together, and we had kind of a Nirvana tribute band, although we never really titled ourselves as a true tribute band. We didn't try and look like them and act like them, but we just wanted to play their music. So it was quite a change from going from that to playing fingerstyle acoustic guitar. What really got me into it was a musician called Preston Reed. He's, I believe, the real true innovator of the percussive guitar style. And I got one of his VHS tapes at the time and put that in the player, and it just blew my mind and just was really taken back by it. And it got me really excited about playing guitar again. So I emulated myself after him and just kind of, not necessarily stealing his licks, but, you know, borrowing things here and there.
Everybody, every musician does it.
Yeah. You know, I gave him right back.
So was that at all daunting when you heard it and thought, you know, if you were doing what you were doing, as you call them, the cowboy chords, did you hear you say, well, I'd really like to do that, but I don't know that I can?
That's exactly the feeling I had, where it was more or less an instructional tape, and it was called Expanding the Realm of the Acoustic Guitar. And that's the reason I got it, because of the title. I was like, well, I'm ready for something new, so this sounds interesting. So I ordered the tape and got it in the mail, and I put it in the VHS player, and my mouth just dropped. And I was like, wow, what is this guy doing? This is so interesting. Sounds so full, and I've never seen this before. And I watched the whole instructional tape all the way through without even picking up my guitar. I mean, why bother?
Because what am I going to do? Never be possible, yeah.
Yeah, so after it sat, I took it out, rewound it, took it out, and let it sit on the shelf for, I think, a couple months, and decided to finally give it a shot. And a year later, and a lot of swearing and giving up a few times and coming back to it again, I finally got my hands to work together and started coming up with some tunes of my own.
Why don't you give us a demo? I mean, we've had a recorded one. We got you in the studio with not one but two guitars.
Alrighty. All right, this one, it's an instrumental. It's called Making Tracks. Thank you.
Making Tracks by Jim Green. You can find that on his CD called The Wandering Endorphin, When the Moon Was Full of Mystery.
That's right.
And he's live in our studio here on Live and Local. And it should be said that since this is not a television show and you couldn't see what he was doing, that with a very few exceptions, there was no finger picking. And that was all sort of tapping on the neck.
Yeah, that particular one was a lot of tapping for sure. Maybe a little bit of frailing here and there, but mostly all tapping, yeah.
So how did you, I'm not familiar with Preston Reed's playing, so I don't have an exact reference myself, but mm-hmm. you referred to finger picking. Is that, you know, from having made the transition from the cowboy chords to finger picking.
Yeah.
And did he start with finger picking? And then, you know, as you go through this course, this VHS course, then other techniques such as the sort you just did?
No. I mean, there is a little bit of a, he starts out with a relatively easier one. Looking back on it now, relatively easy, to where it's, there is some very traditional finger picking involved with some percussive hits to the body of the guitar for like a drum, you know, or just getting a kind of a beat going. One of those kind of things. But I mean, I play traditional finger style, also strumming and whatnot. But I know that what seems to get the most interest is the percussive tapping style.
So if you go out to a bar or wherever it is that you might be playing, like Black Rock Pizza, where you're going to be tonight and tomorrow, then the ones that get the hoots and the hollers are the ones of the sort you just did.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, especially in a bar, you know. But you would see it all. You know, you would see that and the traditional instrumentals with the just plain old figure style picking and strumming and the singer-songwriter. I like to keep a good variety going, not just one thing.
I read, it was probably just in the biographical material you sent me, that although you have worked very hard in your guitar technique, obviously, you still consider yourself primarily a songwriter, singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I think that would be still correct to today. Although with some of the new techniques I'm into now, it seems like the lyrics have been put aside a little bit more than normal these days. I'm getting into a lot of flamenco guitar, and it's not something I'm going to be playing as flamenco music, but looking at some of those guitar players and the techniques they're using, those techniques have been around for a long time, and I'm just now discovering them, and I think some of them could be very useful for my playing, especially in a percussive sense.
So you have started to incorporate them into your music? Not quite.
Yeah, yet. Yeah. Even when I'm tuned for this next song, there's a little bit of it at the end.
Well, of course, now I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Flamenco, if you were doing flamenco, that would require a certain amount of foot stomping, which wouldn't go over very well in this particular studio. But so we're not going to have any of that, right?
No, not
because we didn't set up for it.
No, there's no dancers would. Cymbals on their hands kind of roll in here.
And you'd have had to do a different kind of practicing. Yeah. So you said when you're tuned up for it, meaning you're probably going to have to change tuning for this particular?
No, I'm ready to go.
Oh, you are?
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Go right ahead.
I thought ahead.
Well, because we got, I was warned that, now he's going to have to do some tuning now.
Yeah,
well,
I snuck it in there, during our talk, so... this one is something off Boxcar Man Again, which is kind of a train theme for the whole CD. And this is what I refer to as my train technique. I try to get this to sound train-like as possible with what I'm doing here. So this is called Hot Shot. Thank you.
A little flamenco there with the box, what the train technique, you called it. And that's to a tune called The Hot Shot by Jim Green, live in our studio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is made possible today with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Jim's going to be playing at Black Rock Pizza Company in Lincoln Square in Urbana tonight and tomorrow from 7 to 10 p.m., and when I, you know, I don't remember where it was that I had seen your name first, but I know I got in touch with you about maybe doing something on the show, and
yeah,
and so I think it was partly you got those gigs so you could be on the show,
yeah,
something to that effect,
yeah, yeah. So the whole
nice that we're in a driving force here,
yes,
in your career, so to speak. Well, I know I was very glad to have an occasion to have you on. I was talking with a woman yesterday, Diana Chittister, who's playing at Walnut Street Winery tonight. And, yeah, you know, I had told her that she's...
That's where I think you saw me.
Were you playing at Walnut Street? Yeah, yeah, that could be. Yeah, that could be. You know, I told her that I thought she plays the guitar better than your average singer-songwriter, which is not to slight the average singer-songwriter, because there's a lot of really good guitarists there, too. And one could, at the very least, say the same thing about you, and certainly differently from the average singer-songwriter. I bet you brought some songs today.
Some songs?
Yeah.
Sure.
Some actual songs, as opposed to tunes. Now, see, if we were talking about Irish music, there would be songs that are sung and tunes that aren't.
Oh, is that the difference?
Yeah, that's what I'm told. I think something.
I didn't realize that. I never thought of it that way.
Well, I never did either. And so you really, I mean, here most of us use song and tune and such interchangeably.
Uh-huh.
You can't do that in Irish music.
I see. I didn't know that.
I have learned, yes. So you gotta, I mean, if you ask for one type, if you ask for one, you won't get the other.
Okay. So when they say, give me a song, lad. You better sing something.
They will. That's right, yeah.
Okay.
That's what you'll be expected to do. And then there's a couple others of which I have forgotten the terminology for. In any event, you know, I wanted to go back to this wandering endorphin thing, not so much for the name that you formerly used. So so you're Jim Green, the artist formerly known as the Wandering Endorphin.
Yeah. Right? But I thought Jim Green was better than just going with a symbol.
Probably so. But you... But you do some wandering of a different sort. You do a little bit of the more adventurous kind of non-musical wandering.
Yeah, I'm really into cycling. My last trip consisted of riding the Grand Illinois Trail. So it was like 437 miles, I think. And I have plans. I hope that next summer I'll be going around the entire lower 48.
Over the space of a summer?
No, a weekend. I got a weekend free. And
We are talking about on your bicycle, right?
On the bicycle, oh, yeah. So it'll be more like a seven-month thing, yeah.
And you'll have your guitar with you, I assume?
You know, that I go back and forth on that. I don't think I will have the guitar, surprisingly. But I can assure you that I'll at least have a harmonica.
Because I was thinking it would be quite a tour, you know, to do the lower 48 and get a gig at least a gig in every state.
Yeah, that's kind of how the idea, I think, I started to form, and then it just got really complicated, or I thought of it getting too complicated with having to be somewhere at a certain day and time, and worrying about mileage and is the guitar okay? You know, I haven't been practicing. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired.
Or you ran into a rainstorm, and your tires went flat.
Yeah. or even a snowstorm for, you know, 7 months. I'm kind of going with the seasons there. It's where I think I would rather just make a total separation and just enjoy the ride and the experience and write about it later when I get home.
Well, I was just about to ask if experiences like that show up in your songwriting.
Yeah, for sure. In fact, the other CD, When the Moon Was Full of Mystery, is mostly nature-related. The songs are there. Obviously, the title, When the Moon Was Full of Mystery, there's Firefly on there, and Wanderlust is another title. I take a lot of inspiration from nature and just traveling.
What would be one of the songs you brought for us today? Have you got any of those on your list?
You mean tunes?
No, I mean songs, actually.
Oh, okay. No, I really mean songs. Yeah. Well, I have a tune. I could play Firefly for you.
Sure.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay. Sure. Okay, here we go.
Guitarist Jim Green, live in our studio. Firefly, his tune off of the CD that is called When the Moon Was Full of Mystery. Jim will be playing at Black Rock Pizza in Lincoln Square in Urbana tonight and tomorrow from 7 to 10. And pleased to have him on the show today. You have a quote from Thoreau that you put on your website in which he says, are we sent here to do chores and hold horses?
Yeah.
And one assumes that your answer, and presumably Thoreau's answer, was no. Not entirely, anyway. You want to put that in context for your life?
Yeah. Well, I hope not. I hope it's not, you know, life isn't doing chores and we're just here to work. That's a tough one. What can I say about that? I can just speak for myself, I guess. I can't.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, just what everybody else should feel, you know. But I guess I put it up there because of I have a real problem punching a clock and going and working in the different warehouses that I've worked in and truck docks and I made good money doing it. I made really good money as a warehouse manager. But I didn't feel that my life was fulfilled completely. So I decided to quit the job and do music full time. And that came with, you know, its own issues of, you know, okay, I don't know if I'm going to make rent this month, kind of thing. But I'm happier. And I think a lot of my friends would agree by that statement, just because I had some of them, one in particular, who told me later, is like, I was going to stop talking to you, Jim, because I couldn't hear another word about how you would go on and complain about your job. you used to be fun, you know, when I first met you. You know, that those sort of things happening. So that's what I think of when I, you know, when I saw that quote. You know, that's how I relate it to myself.
And there's a lot of people certainly who have come through this studio who have not necessarily put it exactly the way you did, but who have made this decision to do music full time. Mm. And it does seem incredibly risky.
Yeah.
Almost especially for a singer-songwriter, I suppose, because your songs, when you have a song, are so personal. But also the market overall is, you know, smaller. I would think, and your venues are usually smaller, so you really better love what you're doing, for starters.
Absolutely, I in making this deal with myself, I said, well, it has to be fun, it has to be fulfilling. If I start turning into some old jaded rock star, you know. Who just complains, again, just like I used to complain about my so-called real job. I'd rather work at the real job and at least have the money. So if I ever got to that point, then I would have to take a serious look at it and kind of regroup and see what I can do to make it fun again, or maybe just, you know, succumb and go punch that clock again.
Mm. While just watching you play, I was sort of had this image of, you know, particularly going back to the idea of you're learning how to do some of these techniques, of this guy, you know, sitting in his room and just getting mesmerized by some of these sounds and almost getting entranced yourself by what you're doing.
Yeah.
Is that at all the scenario that...
Yeah,
that happens, you know.
Oh yeah, it was constantly on my mind. It dominated my thoughts, you know, when I started playing this way. I'm just picturing my neighbors pounding on my door. Stop playing.
Well, but at least you're playing an acoustic guitar, and it's not.
That's what I said.
Overly loud.
I'm not even plugged in.
Did they actually do that?
Yeah, they really did.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they just because I would, I, This is why I can't live with anybody. Because I would take this song and I would break it down sometimes to make sure I really got it, you know. And I play so slowly because I think that it's a lot harder to play really slow than it is really fast. So I would challenge myself in that way. And I would just drive someone nuts if, you know, unless I had my own place. But apparently I had thin floors and walls in the place I first started learning the style in.
So going back to the idea, you know, to the you're having moved to Wayne, Illinois, pretty isolated place.
Yeah. And I actually a fan at the time, now a friend, knew I was looking for a place and offered to rent out part of his home. You know, the homes out there are pretty, some of them are pretty big, and this happens to be one of them. And his parents had passed away, so he has this, you know, big house, and was nice enough to offer me the opportunity to move in there and live there. And so I, after seeing the place and the area, I was in love with it for sure. And the house is big enough to where we are separated, and he won't hear me play, which is important for me.
Anyway. Yeah, I wondered if he had to build a soundproof room, and he said, "You can play in here."
Yeah. Well, it helps too that he's also a musician, not full time, but he composes also.
So you can, if he starts complaining about yours, you can.
Yeah, I can
do the same. Well, what do you want to do next?
I could do a song.
An actual song.
I can do an actual song.
Sure.
Let me see if I can get this cable on here. This is, speaking of quitting the job, this is the song I wrote the last day I had that job. And I came home and was in my little apartment in Chicago and was thinking, oh my God, what did I just do? So this is more of a, like a, almost like a pep talk for myself, the way I look at it. It's called Let It Ride. Told life's a game, you better learn to gamble and stake your claim. Well, I'm so tired, I'm on the outside, I'm taking everything and I'm gonna let it ride. So don't judge me if you disagree. I'm calling that's bluff with no guarantee. Stakes are high, step aside, you only live once, so let it ride. Apart in the street, never took chances, so I was happy. Just a boy, now a man, I'm kicking butt any way that I can. So don't judge me if you disagree. I'm calling that's bluff with no guarantee. Stakes are high, step aside, you only live once, so let it ride. Thank you. that man, tears in his bare. Always locked his eyes cause his dreams were clear. But he was late, taking his aim. His dreams got away cause he didn't play the game. So don't judge me if disagree. I'm calling last bluff with no guarantee. Stakes are high, step aside. You only live once, so let it ride.
Let it ride, Jim Green. Just one guitarist there, I should probably emphasize. Again, there's no drummer or anything like that. It's all one guy. You look like you had something to say.
Oh, no, I got a little turned around there and messed up. I was just pondering that. It's like, I guess I need to practice that one really slow.
Well, we won't ask because probably we didn't notice.
Well, good, because if it got really bad, that's when I just call it jazz.
Yeah.
Not that jazz is bad, just like improvising.
Improvisation.
I'm out of key. I'm soloing out of, the...
Well, speaking of jazz, you just give me the opportunity to say that on Monday's show on Live and Local, we will be welcoming a jazz quartet led by Johnny Beckett, who's a tenor sax player. He's got a new CD out, and... he and his colleagues will be joining us live in the studio. And it had been a while since we had any jazz in here, and then we had some on Tuesday, too, from a wonderful group, Adrian Barnett Septet. You know the guitarist Tommy Emmanuel?
Of course,
I assume,
yes.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me that with all the percussive stuff that you do on your guitar, it looks so unmarred.
Oh, does it?
At least from this distance, because, his is entirely hacked up. He does a lot of percussive stuff. And...
Yeah, I think I have a thicker lacquer finish on mine, maybe. I've had this guitar. This is my first acoustic guitar.
Really?
I've had this since, I want to say, 86, 85.
Do you just keep getting it refinished or something?
Well, it's got three cracks right here.
I do
There's
see that.
There's a fourth
those, yeah.
one coming in. I've had that repaired once. There's the biggest dent is probably right here, and that wasn't from playing. That was from living in Chicago and going to street perform. I had to take the train, and the turnstile came around and came behind me and hit the guitar that was on my back and put a nice little dent in there for me.
You couldn't afford a case at that point?
Well, I had a soft shell case that I wore on the back so I can carry the amplifier and everything else I needed.
On your bike?
No, just by hand.
Oh,
walking.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was getting the whole picture now of the street musician who just bikes everywhere with his guitar on his back, but then that didn't go. Well, I saw that you had, at one point were a street musician. What would you say that, now that you're doing music full-time in one way or another, and I know that has a combination of playing and teaching, but what would you say, what would you consider some of your biggest successes so far? In any context?
Well, to me, just putting out a CD is a huge success.
And you've had several of those.
Yeah. Every one I put out, it's I can look back at it and you go, I did it, I finally did it.
And you do all the work on it. I mean, you do the producing and the recording or something?
I've had, I went to a seminar about producing because I wanted to learn more about it, what is producing a record. And I met a guy there who wanted to be a producer and we kind of joined forces as to get the experience, him as a producer and me as a recording artist, because I've never recorded in a studio before. And so he helped me out with my first studio album, Destination Euphoria. And I was in a real studio and sounds great. But it was a learning experience for sure. So after spending so much money on it and telling one of my friends about it, who was a musician also, he kind of brought up the question, well, Jim, wouldn't you rather take that money and put it into a home studio so you can record anytime you want, put as many CDs out as you want and be a lot cheaper? And it's like, well, yeah, that would be a good idea at this point. But I'm glad I did the record in the studio, because it really does sound really good. But it's hard to be, you know, today, musicians, a lot of them have home studios or some kind of setup to where they have to learn how to become an engineer now, not just a musician, among other hats that they might wear, like in marketing and whatnot. But CDs instantly pop in my mind as the biggest accomplishments. Had some really nice gigs. Nothing else really comes to mind. I'm sure when I leave here, I'm going to go, why didn't I say that?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking here, for example, at the Billboard magazine. You got their attention somehow or another?
Yeah, through a contest. I actually sent in that particular studio album, and they picked me among 19 other people from the Midwest, and naming them one of the best independent artists in the Midwest. Yeah, just kind of like a little nod to us all and telling everyone to watch for these guys.
But you didn't get any, did you get any gigs out of that you know of? You know, where somebody said, hey, I saw that listing here, you know, you want to come to our...
You know, it's kind of funny. I didn't get a single... I got nothing out of it. Other than the recognition, I guess. I've gotten really great offers from street performing as a street musician, more than the recognition from the editors of Billboard.
Wow, I wouldn't have expected that. I mean, because most people seem to ignore street musicians.
You know,
conveniently,
the style that I have is very flashy, I guess. So it gets people's attention, and I'm downtown Chicago, and you never know who's going to be walking by. And I think it's one thing to listen, but another to listen and watch the style. So I guess that intrigued them, you know, whoever it was, versus someone just, you know, skimming over an article and forgetting about the next article they're reading.
Well, coming back to the idea of experiencing somebody live, which is the best way to, especially when things are visual, as what you're doing is, people can hear and see you live tonight or tomorrow night or both. At Black Rock Pizza Company, which is inside Lincoln Square in Urbana. It'll be from 7 to 10, both tonight and tomorrow. And I get the chance to see you live right here.
Yay.
But, of course, it being a radio show, sort of hard to get the visuals out to the audience.
So you should have put my tip jar out.
Yeah, well, yeah. My pockets are empty.
Oh.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our broadcast is supported by the Friends of WYLL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. You have another guitar here.
Yep.
And I just am curious why it's sitting there.
Well,
and it's on a chair, no less.
We
should say, but Jim's been standing this whole time.
Yeah. It almost looks like we're expecting somebody, doesn't it?
Somewhat, yeah. You have a friend who came with you?
I could do something on that guitar here. This is a nylon string guitar. Let's see here. I really got into it from learning all those flamenco techniques I've been trying to get down. So in doing so, I come up with a few songs that sound nothing like flamenco good music. Nor use those techniques. Um, This is a new one. It doesn't even have a title. It probably will have a lyrics eventually, but I'll give you the instrumental version for now.
A new untitled composition by Jim Green here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Well, let's do one more to take us out in just a minute after I mention a few other events our listeners can see and hear live in our listening area. Black Magic Johnson will play the blues at the Trading Post Saloon in Springfield tonight at 9 o'clock. It's a jazz concert at Allerton Park in Monticello featuring the Muhammad Seymour High School Jazz Band and the Chip McNeil Quartet, 7 o'clock tonight. Dan Hubbard is at McMahon's in Washington, Illinois. That is at 8:30. It's the Giving Tree Band and Acoustics Anonymous at Donnie's Homespun Pizza in Springfield tonight at 9. The Sangamon Valley Community Orchestra is performing at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield tonight at 7:30. And then the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony Program at concerts tomorrow at 1 and 5 at Springfield High School. On Saturday, the Prairie Ensemble will perform a program called All Around the World in One Night at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign tomorrow night, 7:30. The Parkland College Chamber Singers, Chorus, and Concert Band are at Parkland Theater in Champaign tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The Jeff Helgeson Quintet plays at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening, 7:30. It's the Old Men Boys doing old-time and bluegrass music at Connie Link Amphitheater in Normal tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And Annie Kennedy is at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Finally, the Duke of Uke playing at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. There's more, but that's, I think, what we have time for on today. Lots of things going on in our listening area. Well, we have a big listening area. And you are listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Jim, it's been a treat to have you on the program. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for the invite. It's been nice talking to you.
Yeah, and again, Black Rock Pizza Company in Lincoln Square. You can hear Jim there tonight or tomorrow at 7 to 10, from 7 to 10 p.m. What do you want to take us out with?
The Endorphin Jig.
Oh, of course. Might as well.